Thank you, Donna. Good morning. Hope everybody is doing well. It's good to be alive, and God is good. And all the time. He really, really is good. Hey, look around. Give somebody a smile and a wave and a smile that really says, I'm glad to be alive. Don't look like the walking dead, but let somebody know that, hey, it's good to see you this morning. God has blessed us. He's given us an opportunity to be able to be together, to just come around His Word, to love on each other, and to love on Him. And that's just a special blessing, each and every opportunity that we have. I know there are a lot of folks who would love to have that opportunity to be able to be with us today who can't. So if you've ever been in that circumstance before, then you understand the value of being able to come together. Also, our online audience, we're glad that they're joining us today. And as always, be sure to give a wave or say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who is back there making sure. Yeah, everybody here give Dr. John a wave. He's back there keeping an eye on things. We appreciate him so much, and appreciate the fact that he is our connection with our online audience. So if you have any questions along the way or anything that you need, Dr. John could either point you in the right direction or get you those answers. And it is so good to have this opportunity together. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin our worship today. Father, as we come to you again, we're grateful and thankful for this opportunity. Lord, too often we take for granted the things that become habitual in our lives. And Father, today I think about those around this world and in other places that would love to have the opportunity to freely gather to worship you. Lord, to freely gather as your word is preached, and they don't have that opportunity. But Father, right now we're coming to you and praising you and thanking you that we can do that in the greatest country in the world. So Lord, we ask that you would help us to focus upon you. Lord, not to just simply go through the motions, but Lord, to truly focus upon your word and to hear what the Spirit wants to say to each and every one of us today. Lord, in every aspect of what we do, we want to honor you. We want to glorify you. So we ask right now, Lord, that you would help us as we gather and to prepare our hearts. And Lord, may we truly hear from you today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, well, this is the time of the year that we gear up for Operation Christmas Child. I think just about everybody knows what that is. Operation Christmas Child is the ministry through Samaritan's Purse, where we take the opportunity to take the little shoe boxes, as we call them, and we pack those up for kids in other countries, most of which have never had a Christmas present before a single day in their lives. But there are those that will deliver these to different areas. Not only do they deliver them a Christmas package, they deliver the most important thing, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, so that these children have an opportunity to not only hear about Christ, but to accept Him. So one of our big projects as we come into this time of the year is to be able to pack up one or two or 12 or however many the Lord leads you to of those boxes. Now, we do have some back in the narthex for you that you can pick up. There are some instructions that tell you certain things that you can't put in there. Again, we go through those, but we also have the privilege of being a regional drop-off at Central Baptist Church. So there's a couple things I want you to think about. Number one, grab a box and begin to pack that. We'll let you know a little bit more about as we're going forward and being able, when we start to collect those. Then also, if you could help out or volunteer on one of the nights that we're actually going to be receiving the boxes from other local churches and businesses to send them on to the next place. There's a sign-up sheet out there in the narthex. The boxes are out there in the narthex, and that'll give you an opportunity to participate on a couple of different levels. And as with always, we usually try to introduce you to some of those who have been either recipients of those packages or along the way, how to pack those boxes and what to put in them if you've never had that opportunity. So for the next couple of weeks, we're going to let you be able to tune in to a couple of the videos that are put out by Samaritan's Purse that give us the opportunity to not only learn how to pack a box, but to hear from some of those who've received it. And we're going to start with one of those today.
3, 2, 1. When that shoebox is open, they're overjoyed.
You can see them shouting, jumping.
Oh, look at how much they are excited.
This is the first time those children are receiving the shoeboxes. They are so happy.
You can hear the laughter, you can hear the cheer, that excitement, it goes and goes and goes.
Right now we're in Ukraine, and today we've given out the 200 millionth shoebox to a little girl here, so it's a lot of fun. It's a privilege for us to be able to come and to help the people as much as we can. Every box is important because every box is an opportunity to tell a child about God's love, about his son, Jesus Christ.
There's so much joy that one gift box can give. They really experience the love of Jesus.
At Operation Christmas Child, we celebrate something as simple as the shoebox because God uses it to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
We got a full box on 15.
This is such an amazing time. We're so happy to be here. This shoebox gift will impact a child's life all year round.
We never dreamed we'd have an army of men and women who would come to make this program happen.
This is what it's all about, telling others about Jesus.
These shoeboxes go into 120 different countries where pastors and missionaries are going to use them to bring the gospel to kids. So you may think it's just a simple gift at Christmas time, but it's the gift of the gospel, the story of Jesus Christ.
When that shoebox leaves that distribution center and it goes around the world, that's not just one person. That's the body of Christ joined together delivering the good news of the gospel.
They go by plane, they go by ship, they go by riverboat, they go by camels, they go by motorbikes. And these boxes go to some of the most remote areas of the world. And every box counts.
After receiving shoeboxes, children are invited to participate in the Greatest Journey Discipleship Program.
These children have just completed 12 lessons in the Greatest Journey. I believe that discipleship is the key, and they are now followers of Christ. They will tell their friends about Jesus.
My name is Gladys, and I am 9 years old. My friend Kemi told me I needed to go with her to church. I wanted to teach her about the Word of God. And when she came to my church, she received a gift box. For a long time, I asked my mom for a blanket. When I opened my shoebox, I found a blanket in it. When I came home, I showed it to my mom, and she said it was great. I told her about Jesus. Now me, my mom, my grandma, and Kemi go to church together. I am certain of one thing. God is my Savior.
Every box counts. Every box touches a child.
It's like a snowflake. There's not one shoebox that is the same. And we are reaching millions of children with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
If you get the heart of the child, you will reach the heart of the parents, you will reach the heart of the family, and then you will touch the community.
We are seeing churches being planted, and more churches are being built.
We will do whatever it takes to reach the ends of the earth with the gospel.
That gift box is the beginning into their hearts.
Isn't it incredible how these gifts touch the lives of these children? The joy, the smiles, it changes lives. Every year we see tens of thousands of children discipled. And we couldn't do this without you, so thank you for packing the boxes. Thank you for praying for these children around the world. God bless you, and keep packing those boxes.
Me to hymn number 14 and stand with me as we sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
And salvation. Strength, and now we're going to sing The Solid Rock, hymn number 406.
So true, right? All other ground is sinking sand. If you have your Bible this morning, we're actually going to continue a look at the book of Galatians chapter 6 that we started last week. So go ahead and turn there with me, Galatians chapter 6. And one of the things that we were talking about last week was about laws. You know, we know how laws are. Some we like to change, some We like just the way they are, but the bottom line is a law is a law means something that's going to happen 100% of the time. And as we looked at the scripture, we get a lesson that we're taught in God's word about sowing and reaping. Now, we've heard that all of our lives, haven't we? You've heard mama or daddy tell you, you got to be careful. And we used some different terms along the way too, didn't we? We also learned that, how is it we say it? What goes around comes around. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. You know, what is it they say? Be careful. I like the one too that says, be careful because if you point a finger, you got to be careful because if you're pointing one, there's three that are pointing back at you. So we want to continue a look at the scripture today concerning the law of sowing and reaping. Our scripture text for today is Galatians chapter 6. And it's essentially just a few short verses, but has so much to say to each and every one of us in them. Look with me, if you would, Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful again for the opportunity that you give us to gather around your word. And Lord, you give us pointed in Scripture the things that we should do. Lord, the law that exists concerning sowing and reaping. Father, I pray that today you will help us to clear our hearts and minds that we might truly be in tune to what it is that you have to say to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that we will be touched in a personal way by your word today and by your spirit today. Lord, I ask once again that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be exalted, that you would be high and lifted up, that you might draw all men unto you. And Lord, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So, you know, we've been talking about that. We kind of had a long intro last week concerning the situation of sowing and reaping. But today, we want to look at what I call the laws. You know, we've said laws are something that happen 100% of the time. I mentioned before, like last week, I said the law of gravity. Most of us know and understand that. We have encountered that a few times in our lives, haven't we? If you trip or if you get off balance, the law of gravity is going to let you know what the floor or the ground looks like. Amen? That's the way that happens, and it happens 100% of the time. Yeah, this is a law, the law of sowing and reaping. So today I want us to look at least four of the unbreakable biblical laws of the harvest. Now, I want you to know there are more than four, but there are four that we want to point out, four of them that stand out, you know, in our face. And the choice that you make today affects your future. That's something that we need to understand. What we are doing today affects our future. Now, I don't have to be real poignant with that. I mean, anybody around here that's a farmer or if you plant a garden, you know and understand. It takes preparation. You go out, you prepare the soil, you plow it, you get in there, you plant, you weed, you fertilize, you water, you do all these things so that the garden will grow, don't you? Yeah, you go out there, you stare at it, you get mad at the bugs, you get mad at the squirrels, and you really get mad at the deer. Yeah, you invite all the deer hunter over to your place because they're eating your vegetables that you're not having an opportunity to have yourself or to share. And of course, us deer hunters love that. We'll be happy to exterminate them for you by the way of a meal, and we'll cook it up for you. But bottom line is this. Let's look at a few of the laws of sowing and reaping today. First of all, and this is a real good one, like I say, folks, these are not something that you have to have some sort of a theological degree to understand. They are very simple. Have you ever noticed that some of the hardest things that we have to contend with are actually the most simple concepts in the world? Okay, here's law number one. See how complicated this is? Here is law number one concerning sowing and reaping. You will reap only what you sow. That was complicated, wasn't it? You will reap only what you sow. Now, notice what it says in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. Now, here's another thing we need to understand. No seed equals no harvest. Did you get that? See, oftentimes we sit back and we consider what seed we're sowing. I heard somebody tell me one time, well, I'm not sowing any seed. And for a moment I thought, oh, you're sowing some seed whether you know it or not. But then I got to thinking, well, you know what? If you don't sow a seed, you won't have a harvest. If you don't plant tomatoes, you're not going to have any unless you've got good, generous Christian neighbors like I do. But you are going to reap what it is that you sow. If you're apathetic, if you're bored with Christ, if you're bored with Christianity, or there's nothing going on spiritually in your life, it's because there has been no fruitful sowing that is going on. That is a simple concept. It is a conversation that I've had over the years with people who sit back and say, well, something's just wrong with me spiritually. I'm like, well, let's talk about where you are spiritually. Well, I'm nowhere. Well, I'll take a shot at this. That's the problem. You know what? God is not going to be able to speak to you if you're not spending time with him. He's going to speak to you in his word. Are you spending time in his word? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time around good Christian folk who are going to uplift you, who are going to encourage you? Knowing this, that there are consequences to no personal Bible study. See, I think sometimes we have to put that on the other foot. You know, we're always sitting there saying these things, and we come up with 10,000 different excuses, but there are consequences when there is no Bible study. There are consequences when there's no prayer. There are consequences when there's no giving. There are consequences when there is no service. You are reaping no harvest because there is no sowing that is going on. And why is that? Because you will reap only what you sow. That makes sense? Is the Lord speaking to your heart in that regard? Imagine a garden that is so incredibly and impeccably prepared. And I've seen this before. Man, a farmer went out one time for a neighbor and he plowed a garden. And I tell you, it was probably one of the prettiest things I ever saw in my life. You ever seen those where the rows are just gorgeously straight, the soil had been turned? This farmer knew what he was doing. And man, he fixed up that field so good. And he did that for a neighbor. Now, in fairness, the neighbor got sick and the neighbor wasn't able to plant that garden. But I watched that gorgeously plowed field, and it was a big one too, not have a single thing prepared into it. Wasn't a single thing planted. And over time, when everybody else's little garden or whatever it was that were flourishing, there were vegetables that were coming in, here lie a pile of dirt. A pretty pile of dirt, but a pile of dirt nonetheless. And then as time went by, weeds started to grow in it. And then it wasn't as pretty as it used to be when he first had prepared the thing. Imagine what that's like. After a couple of months, the dirt kind of looked pretty boring. It wasn't where you go by and say, boy, that's a pretty field anymore. You're looking at all the other gardens that are really growing. The weeds all of a sudden would become a discouragement. Have you ever been that person in the garden when every day maybe your mama told you had to go out there and pull? How many of y'all had to pull weeds from the garden? How many of y'all hated that? I think every single hand went back up. Because nobody liked to do it. You like to have that mater sandwich, but boy, you certainly didn't want to go out there and pull them weeds out of there. That was not the fun part. But you see, mama always knew that you got to get them weeds out of the garden. And what's happened is that the dirt, if nothing's planted in it, becomes boring. The weeds become discouraging. But plant some seeds in there. Put some water on it. Put some fertilizer in there. And soon you will begin to see the fruit of your labor. Pretty soon, yeah, it starts off maybe as a little sprig. I'm not that patient. I just get the plants and I plant them, so I've already got a good start when I walk away from it. There's something looking a whole lot better than it did when I started. But the bottom line is all of a sudden you begin to see some great things begin to happen. And the reason why is that pretty soon you're going to be experiencing fruit because you get back what you put in. Boy, these are difficult concepts, aren't they? These are deep, theologically based situations. You get out of it what you put into it, because you are going to reap what you sow. If your Christian life ever becomes a drag or a waste with no fruit, no joy, no taste, remember, fruit comes from sowing seed. Fruit comes from cultivation. Fruit comes from effort. Fruit comes from work. Is that where you are? But see, what happens is we get pretty lazy, don't we? We've become a pretty lazy society. And everything, we just like, well, let somebody else do it. Somebody else cannot sow your seed and you reap the harvest for it. It doesn't work like that. Fruit comes from prayer. Fruit comes from encouraging others in the Word of God, sharing the gospel message, using your giftedness in service, in giving, in fellowship. You know, all of this is allowing the Spirit to work within each and every one of us. You know, fruit is Christ. I mean, Christ is the one who provides it. That's showing himself in and through your life. But you cooperate. You depend on these things. You serve. You plan. And by failing to prepare, you are preparing to fail. You've heard that before, haven't you? And what does it say? Most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. Is that where we are? See, I didn't even think about that for a minute because I didn't want to say it backwards. Most often, we fail because we don't try. We don't plan. We don't look toward the future. We don't look at what's going on. We don't take that step into faith. And we become bored and we become boring right where we are. Sometimes, we don't even like ourselves. We're so boring. Amen? You ever been that way in your life? That you're so boring, you didn't even want to be around you. Because there wasn't nothing going on. Wasn't nothing going on spiritually. Wasn't nothing going on in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Okay? But you cooperate. You depend on. You serve. You plan. And God is the one who brings the harvest. So now, when that happens, what you see is what you get an opportunity to reap. Look at your own life. If there's a little... If there's little fruit of character or service or blessing, ask yourself, have I been sowing? Have I been sowing at all? If I have been sowing, has the seed been good seed? Are the things I'm saying sowing good seed? Because, oh yeah, when you say that, you're dropping seed in the ground. Yeah, most of us have seen this exhibited in our lives. Because all of a sudden, you had one of your children that said something that shocked you. Remember that? Remember the day that happened when they were little? All of a sudden, you heard Junior or Juniorette say, and you were like, and then that natural reaction is, well, where did you hear that from? And you know what they said? You! Then it was an attention getter, wasn't it? You see, what happened was you sowed a seed. The things we say, the things we do, the way we act. Oh, here's a good one. The way we look. You see, some of our faces give away what we're thinking, right? Where are my people out there? You know what I'm saying. Everybody knows what you're thinking. You don't have to say it. When they say something, you're like, you've already said something. That's sowing seed. What kind of seed are we sowing? Last week, I think in verse 6, we talked about how verse 6 exhorts us to give in a financial way. Any response by you? Don't answer me out loud. I don't look at the books. Was that something that the Lord touched you with? Hey, that preacher trying to get in my pocket. No, I'm not trying to get in your pocket. I'm trying to make sure God can bless you because that's what it's really all about. Do you ever think about that? I mean, the really interesting part is God doesn't say, give that I might be able to do what I want to do, because last time I checked, God owns it all. He owns a cattle of a thousand hills. It's all His. What He says is, I want you to be faithful so I can bless you tenfold. So I can increase you. So I can push back, so I can trust you more. And I've said this a thousand times. And giving is the only place I know where God says, why don't you try me? I dare you. You don't think so? Go to Malachi. Look at Malachi chapter 3. God says, try me. And you know what that means? I dare you. I dare you to be faithful in giving and watch what I will do. I promise you, you won't outgive me. Now, I'll tell you, I've taken him up on that. And you know what? I have lost every single time. Every single time, God brings it back around. And it's a contest. Let me try to sneak one by God. No. God goes, watch this. Sometimes it's cash. Sometimes it's another way. Now, do not get me wrong in this goofy society that we live in today. I am not preaching prosperity theology. Because I think sometimes today what we have a problem with is that we don't know the difference between our wants and our needs. Now, God says He'll provide all of our needs, but I promise you, if you've been faithful, He's given me a lot of my wants. That's just God. So did it resonate with you? Any real sowing going on with your giving? What you sow now is already, listen, church, what you have sown is already being reaped in foreign countries with missions groups. It is being reaped today. When the Cuba team went this past March, there were resources that were left behind that ministry would perpetuate and people would continue to hear the gospel message, and that is going on today because you were faithful. You know why? Because you are reaping what you've sown. And the cool part is for us when we go over there every year to see what God has done. The year that we went over there and we watched 16 kids become 180 within a year when we challenged them and Central Baptist Church said, here, look, we're going to provide for you the means, the vehicle by which to do this. In 1 year, 180 kids from 16 hearing the gospel message, trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. See, that is a blessing of Central Baptist Church. Think about the ministries that have gone out. Think about what happened down here at Carefree. Central Baptist Church is going to reap what's been sown. I love it. You all are a bunch of sowers. When you were cooking out there and having fun, by the way, ministry's fun. It's tiring. I'm sure y'all didn't go away going, I got so much energy at the end of today after cooking three meals a day for these kids. No, you went home tired. But let me tell you something. The fruit is coming forth because you reap what you sow. Even more is happening that you and I cannot see. And the harvest causes us to want to be a part of that all the more. Yet we're in times, you know, where we get weary. There's times that we've been tired. I've said this as far as your staff before. There have been times that we have been tired in the ministry but not of the ministry. Times when you get home at the end of the day and you put your head on a pillow and say, Lord, my back hurts, my feet hurt. Man, up the smile on them kids' faces that got to eat today was a blessing. Give me strength to get out of bed tomorrow. Give me some Bengay and some Advil or something, but keep me going. Have you been there? What was it that the scripture says also? Let me drop down into verse 9. It says, and let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not lose heart. Listen, I know a lot of you are tired, but keep on pushing. I know you've pushed. Keep on pushing. Keep on, keep on, keep on, because it has eternal significance along the way. So we talked about the fact that you're going to reap only what you sow. Let me give you the second thing, okay? A second law. Second, you will reap the same thing that you sow. Think about that for a minute. Look at verse 8. What's verse 8 tell us? For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Did you get that? You reap the same thing that you sow. When you sow corn, you don't produce watermelons, do you? When you sow apples, you don't reap oranges. When you sow beans, you don't harvest peaches. And sowing in the flesh means that you do not reap the things of the Spirit. Simple concept, isn't it? If you are sowing to the flesh, you will reap of the... If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap of the... Why is that such a difficult concept for us to grasp? Because I'll tell you one thing, some of the people in our society today... In 2023, have become the meanest people on the face of this planet. Now remember this. If that's what you're sowing, that's what you're going to reap. I love the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat others as you would have them treat you. Do you really want people to treat you the way that you're being treated today? Listen, I probably don't have to do an individual poll. All of us have seen this. We've gotten just nasty after this pandemic. Now, and we blame it on that. But the bottom line is, you're still doing some sowing. And you're going to reap what you sow. And sowing in the flesh means you're not going to reap in the Spirit. If you are sowing, if you sow spending... Let me bring it home. If you sow spending, guess what you're going to reap? Debt. I had a friend who participated in some secret sin for about a half of a year before he repented. And it was amazing that it literally took him a half of a year to fully grasp what he had done. Satan's a liar and he blinds you. Some serious sin was taking place. And guess what? He reaped a whirlwind of painful consequences because of it. Sometimes instead of choosing to love your wife or respect your husband, a spouse will expend so much time and effort trying to find a way to spend time with somebody else. You picking up what I'm putting down? How about sowing a stronger marriage? How about sowing to the Spirit in there? Because see, if you don't, what happens is you reap a home full of tension. You sow to the Spirit, you reap a home full of peace. And y'all are sitting back probably going, this is so elementary. It is, but you know what the problem is? It is so elementary that we don't do it. It is so elementary we don't get it. If you want peace in your home, sow peace in your home. But whatever it is that you're sowing, that is what you're going to reap. Some believers are casual about things like commitment to church. Yes, I still believe we ought to be committed to the Lord's house. I still believe. I had a chance to visit my parents this past weekend, and I ran into the Candyman's daughter. Remember I told you about the Candyman, Jack? And I told her, I said, I want you to know something. I said, I believe that part of the reason I'm where I am today is because your daddy. Not because he hopped me up on candy and sugar, but because he connected me to my church. I was the short aisle guy, remember? In our church, the short aisle would be against the wall. Not really the significant one that most people would want, but I loved that short aisle. But that short aisle connected me to my church. It helped me to become committed. And that grew into what it is today. See, today, nobody wants to be committed to the church. I'm going to blow in. I'm going to give you an hour on Sunday morning. I'm leaving. Don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to teach a Sunday school class. Y'all are old-fashioned. You still have Sunday school classes? Yeah. Call it what you want. Call it a small group if you want to. I don't care what flowery term you put on it. They're important. The church is designed to be able to do ministry. It is designed to be an organism made up of all of us, not a handful of people, not something you attend. It's something you become. Does that make sense? We need to be committed to our church. Too many people are hit and miss with attendance, non-committal in services, no giving whatsoever. And then they wonder why their children aren't interested in Christ. You may tell you why? Because they reap what they sow. You've heard me say it before. If spiritual things are not important to you, they will not be important to your children. I saw a thing the other day that was kind of interesting, and I'm just going to read it to you, but it says this. It's called the four-generation fade. It says, number one, parents don't make church a high priority for their kids. Number two, this is a generation. This is the next generation. Number two, kids grow up and make it less of a priority for their kids. Third generation, those kids grow up and make it no priority for their kids. Then generation four rolls along, and those kids grow up with no concept of God whatsoever. And folks, let me tell you something. We are there. We are there. Priorities today impact generations to come. You know what that just said? It was so funny that when I saw that this past week, because you know what that means? That means that you reap what you sow. Did you get that last part? Priorities today impact generations. Your generation, my generation. Listen, I don't want to see our kids, our grandkids, our great-grandchildren, our great-great-grandchildren. I don't want to see them go to hell. Do you? Some of you know that. Some of you are the only biblical Christian experience in your children or your great-grandchildren, their lives. Because they're not getting it at home. Don't give up. Don't give up. You reap what you sow. I thought about my friend there that I was talking about. Men and women, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap to the flesh. And you will reap the same thing that you sow. And God can and does forgive. But forgiveness does not remove consequences of your actions or your decisions. Did you hear me? I want to make sure you understand that. God forgives. You can go to Him. You can ask forgiveness. But that does not mean that there's not going to be a consequence for your sin. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's long. Sometimes it's a lifetime. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're right there. Look at the life of David. Not our David, David in the Bible. The life of David. David was called a man after God's own heart. And yet he messed up with Bathsheba when he sowed to the flesh. So many problems there. We've preached about that. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He didn't turn his gaze away when he should have. He pursued the issue. When he found out she was a married woman, that didn't stop him. You see what's going on? Then all of a sudden, she's with child. Then he tries to cover it up all the way to the point where he has the man murdered and takes her as his wife like he did something great. The child comes along. And finally, the prophet got him. I love that part. Prophet told a little story. Remember, he said, hey, think about it. There's this little lamb. This guy had this little lamb, and that's all he had. And somebody took that little lamb away from him and killed it and roasted it for dinner. And remember what David said? David said, who is that man? You bring him here, and I'll take care of it. And the prophet said, you are that man. It's you. See, he knew he had been called on the carpet at that point. Still took him a little while, but when he repented, He understood God's forgiveness. Did the child go away? Sorta. I know what y'all are thinking. No, there was still a child. He had still messed up. But the child also died. There are consequences for our sin. And whatever you're sowing, listen, whatever you're sowing, I want you to look at what's in your seed bag. It's critical. It doesn't mean that by the end of today, things are going to be better. Because that seed that you've already sown, the bad seed's going to grow. And you're going to harvest that. It could be weeks or months or years down the road. But how do you get out? I still remember a guy asked me, he said, so how do I get out of this? I said, it's simple. You start sowing good seed. But realizing that it's going to take time for that seed to take hold and germinate and the good seed to grow. It's going to be down the road that you're going to begin to see the results of the sowing of the good seed. Because you still got a whole bunch of harvest of that old bad stuff that was sown. I like what a writer named John Scott writes. He said, every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. Every time we linger in bad company whose insidious influence we know we cannot resist. Every time we lie in bed, we ought to be praying. Every time we watch porn, we're sowing to the flesh, and we will reap of what we have sown. Paul showed how your pattern of continual sowing and reaping will reap corruption in regard to eternal life. Look at verse 8. What did verse 8 say? It says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Everlasting life. Everlasting life. Think about that for a minute. Think about the contrast of what's taking place. If you are continually sowing to the flesh, you get corrupt. That's not a hard one, is it? You get corrupt. A word you know what the word used, corruption, a word used of decaying food, a horrible stuff which is left in the back of the refrigerator. Yeah, you know that before. You've left it back there before, and all of a sudden you're like, what is this? And you know, guys, we do that all the time. We'll pull something out of the refrigerator, and we're like, honey, what is this? I don't know. And then the next question is it good? And then you hear those dreaded words, I don't know, smell it. If it's fuzzy and it has a bad odor, it's corrupt. That's where the word corruption comes from. Do you see it? Do you get it? That decaying food. Yeah. Although genuine trust in Christ saves you from spiritual death, you can reap corruption as a believer. And Paul warns, if you're sowing to the flesh, if that's your pattern, you're not genuine. That's what he says. He says, you're going to be able to know God's people. You're going to be able to see God's people. Because the contrast is this. If you sow in the Spirit according to the Word of God, and in God's strength and by God's power, the Spirit, you will reap of eternal life. Eternal life is forever and ever with Christ in heaven. It's a whole lot longer than you can ever imagine here on this earth. We cannot fathom. I want you to think about the fact that when you spend the first 3 million years in heaven, what does the song say? You've no less days to sing God's praise than when you first begun. Isn't it worth the vapor? The Bible tells us life is but a vapor that appears for only a short while and vanisheth away. Doesn't matter how old you are, when you exit this earth, you're still going to be alive. It's location, location, location. And if it's in heaven,
Don't you want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Enter into the joy of the Lord. But think about it. Eternal life is forever with Christ in heaven. But it's mainly a quality of life that we enjoy now when we think about it. Like picking berries. They don't all end up in the pie, but sometimes they get to be enjoyed. You know, Jana loves strawberries. We go to a strawberry patch and she gets ready to start picking. She says, "You probably ought to weigh me first. Then weigh me afterwards," because she's going to have a bunch of strawberries during the time of picking the harvest. Do you know what the Lord says? That's okay. He says you get to enjoy some of that harvest along the way as well. Love it. Not every berry ends up in the pie. Some of them end up in your stomach or a blueberry cobbler, which is fantastic, by the way. We enjoy the blessings of eternal life now. That's the Lord giving us some blessings along the way. As soon as we're born, we begin our journey to eternity. Eternal life refers mainly to quality, not duration. How do you put a tag on forever? We can't. It's quality. Paul warns here, though no sin can separate you from eternal life, yet any sin can corrupt your enjoyment of eternal life. That's why some Christians are the most miserable people on the face of the planet. You know what I said this morning, and I say it every Sunday morning? Give somebody a smile, and one that you mean. Not like you've been sucking on a bunch of old sour persimmons. Spirituality is not measured by the droop at the corner of your mouth. What makes somebody want Jesus when they look at our life? If we are always fussing and moaning and groaning and complaining and not happy with anything, they go, "Whoa, I get enough of that at work. Don't need that." Take up the challenge to do some different things from your heart. Choir, I want to challenge you to sing from your heart, because when you do, it will reflect on your face. You know what Jan and Blake told me? I got to play, when I played with the folks, they said, "That was really good, but you look like a true bluegrass bass player." Like, what do you mean? Look like one of the darlings. It's like, smile a little bit, man. Act like you're enjoying it. I was like, I was having a time of my life. Well, then look like it. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. How about just saying it from the heart? Listen, folks, being a Christian's fun. We need to enjoy it. And here's the other thing. When you enjoy it, other people will want to enjoy it with you. That's what makes a difference. I'm going to try to smile more, Leonard, I promise. Because I enjoy it, man. I had the time of my life. I made up excuses just like y'all do. Well, I was just trying to keep track of time. I just had to figure out what was going on. Now, I'm going to be up there. Look like one of the Muppets or something. But you know what? Hey, I'm going to have, because I'm having fun. I want y'all to have fun with us. I want to be able to sit back and say, "You need a second chair bass player because I'm first, but you want to come along and play bass, you can play behind me." Let's enjoy sowing seed for Christ and reaping it. How about it? Some people are the most miserable Christian people. They're even more miserable than unbelievers. Why? Because as a believer, your sin battles against your newborn again nature. I've said people sit back and say, well, how could that person right there is a professing atheist and they're the happiest person in the world? They don't know any better. There's no conviction in their life. There's nothing to tell them that they shouldn't be doing this. And their punishment's eternal. That's why we sit back all the time and say, well, it's just not fair. God told us we would suffer for Him while we're here. But sow a life of dependency in the Spirit through obedience to the Word, and you will reap an eternal harvest beginning now. A man sows to the Spirit when he denies his own ambitions in order to serve other people. A woman sows to the Spirit when she is reconciled to her sister in Christ. A husband and wife sow to the Spirit when they repent of their selfishness and begin to work together in a true spiritual partnership of oneness and roles. Verse 8 says, you sow to the flesh, you get corruption. And if the flesh is a way of life, then you get eternal condemnation. Sow to the Spirit, and you'll get eternal life now. And if it's continual, it shows you're heading towards eternal life in heaven. Two things. And we're still not done. Remember how many laws did I tell you I was going to give you? Told you I was going to give you four. Well, guess what? We got two. That means next Sunday is coming. What are the two laws that we talked about? First of all, I want you to remember this, that you reap only what you sow. That's the first thing. Only what you sow. And the second one is what? It is a whole lot like the first, yet different, that you will reap. What's that? The same thing that you will sow. It's not going to be different. It's not going to come up in a different way. Like I said, you don't plant an apple tree and go out and pick bananas when the time comes. It don't work that way. Now, there's some critical things that are involved in this, and one of the critical things is, first of all, you have to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. We are talking about how the Spirit works and how the Spirit moves in a believer. We're talking about what you and I should be as believers and followers. So my first question is, are you a believer and a follower? Remember what I said a minute ago? Even atheists don't have a problem. They enjoy life. They go out and sin, go out and do whatever they want to, and they have zero conscience. You know what conscience really is? Holy Spirit. They have zero conscience about it. But you and I, we can't do that because we have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, Mark, don't do that. Bill, stop. Kurt, you done messed up, man. Doesn't it? That's what the Spirit does. And He wants us to repent. Remember what repentance is? Turning around, going in the right direction. Repent. Enjoy His forgiveness. But we need to start sowing some good seed. Because here's a promise I can make you. You ready? You know this. You are going to reap what you are sowing. Right now, you're reaping what you sowed in the past because it has come to fruition. You want to change tomorrow, you better start sowing the good stuff today. Now, it's going to take some time. Battle through it. Because there are consequences for sin. Do you know my Jesus? Have you trusted Him? I'm not asking if you've checked boxes. I'm not asking if you filled out a card. I'm not asking if you've done anything other than gotten on your face before God Almighty and said, Lord, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Will you save me? Now, He does ask us to do some things afterwards. Number one, He says we should be baptized. That's not an element of salvation. It's an act of obedience following salvation. But He calls us to do that. Are we going to be obedient? I guarantee you there's some in this room right now that you have not been baptized following your salvation. You got baptized when you were little. That was when you thought you were saved, or you went along with everybody else, but you haven't. And the Holy Spirit's been on your back for decades about that, but you haven't taken that step yet. Gotcha! Well, it's time to take that step. Act of obedience. And then he says, I want you to live for me. And I'm not going to let you get away with looking like the world. I'm going to be going, excuse me, hey, we're not supposed to do that. You're going the wrong direction. Stop with that thought. That's a student driver, Roy. Don't get mad at him. Get off the horn. Stop shaking your fist. Because you reap what you sow. I've learned sometimes I'll be going down there and, you know, my old country thing, and y'all know this too, God bless their heart. We all know what that really means, right? God bless them. God bless them. Watch your life change as you go forward in the future. Listen, Christian, maybe there's just a whole pile of stuff we just need to unload. We need to check our seed bag. We need to start sowing what's good, what's healthy, what's wholesome, and what's right. Because I will make you a promise that when we do, we will see God show up in a way that we cannot even describe in our personal lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, and in so many other ways. It's worth it. It's worth it. I'm going to ask Brad and our musicians if they would take their place. The question was, first of all, was, do you know Jesus? If not, stop what you're doing. If you're watching online, pull the car over, do whatever it is you need to do. But in the moment of that silence, this moment, today is the day of salvation, from your heart, cry out in prayer to say, Lord, I am a sinner and I know that. I need a Savior and Jesus is it. Lord, I trust Him as my Savior. Save my soul. And He'll do that. I promise He'll do that. He's heard your prayer. He says, now I want to start teaching you what it's like to be one of my children, which is cool, by the way. Will you be one of His children in a way that will show others, point others towards Him? Maybe we're here today and we have been so caught up being religious that we have missed the boat. We can do that. We're all guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. We can be so caught up being religious that we get in a rut. We get in a cycle. We're not hearing from God. We're just reciting God. What is He saying to you personally? Where you are? Because let me tell you this. He's got big plans, but he's got to get through the weed. How many times have we used that term? We've got to get through the weeds. Well, let's get through the weeds. You start sowing now, on the other side of the hill will be a cornfield, a soybean field, an apple orchard, the grapevines, all to be enjoyed by God's people. But hey, you got to start now. You got to sow now because you will reap later. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, I've been doing this wrong and I need some help. All of us are there. I'm here if you need me. Listen, if you've trusted Jesus, please let us know. If you're part of our online folks, listen, let Dr. John know. The celebration will start right now, yeah, electronically. But we want to celebrate with you here. We want to help you on that journey because you just became part of the family. And we like to be a herd around here, don't we? What will you do? Will you make that decision? Whatever it is the Lord's put on your heart right now, would you stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn number 312, softly and tenderly, you respond to what God has spoken to your heart.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, He's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, calling, oh sinner, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner.
Bowed, as your eyes are closed, and as you continue to do business with God, the simple question is, will you leave changed from the way you came in? Because the Spirit has spoken to each and every one of our hearts, because His Word does not return void. It's purely up to you. As you continue to do business with God, I'm going to ask that our ushers make their way down to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. Father, we again thank you for provision in our lives. Lord, each and everything that we have comes from you. And Lord, this is a time of worship as well, when we are given the opportunity to give back to you what you have blessed us with in such a mighty way. You just asked for a little bit. Lord, you have told us to try you. You know, you've dared us to be faithful in giving to you, and see if you will not pour forth a blessing that we cannot even begin to imagine. Lord, today I pray we will take you up on that challenge. Lord, that hearts and lives may be blessed because of obedience in your sight. So Lord, bless the gift and the giver is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Biggie. Just a couple things to get you on out of here. Birthdays that we have this week. Today, Shirley Monroe has a birthday. You better be good to her, right? You better take her out, do something, you know. But be sure if you see not only Shirley, but this coming Wednesday, Tammy Gardner and Doris Wright will be celebrating birthdays this coming Wednesday, as well as on Thursday, Don Anderson will be celebrating another trip around the sun. Let's give them all a hand. Listen, folks, as you have the opportunity to give them a hug, shoot them a text, give them a card, whatever way that that you communicate, just let folks know that you're praying for them, particularly on their special day. We also have a couple of anniversaries tomorrow. Kelly and Annette Joyce will celebrate an anniversary, as well as John and Joanne and John Willard. Theirs is coming up this coming Tuesday. So when you get a chance, shoot them a card, give them a call, stop by, give them a hug, whatever. I'm sure that they would certainly appreciate that, celebrating those milestones in their lives. Just a couple quick things. There's a lot of things that are going on, particularly on Sundays, but all the way. I'm telling you, my discipleship group meets in the conference room today at 3:30. Building and Grounds has a meeting at 3:30 in the Family Life Center, room 116. Awana tonight from 5:30 to 7, meet over in the gym. Choir practice, 4:45 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Bible study, 6 o'clock p.m. right here in the sanctuary. Mondays at 3 o'clock, Steve Kelly's D-Life group, no, not 3 o'clock. No, Monday at 3 o'clock is the Classic Singers. That's the classic CBC Classic Gospel Singers. That is at 3 o'clock on Monday in the choir room of the Family Life Center. Steve Kelly does have a group on Monday night at 6:30. That's his D-Life discipleship group that meets in the conference room. Wednesday, as always, men's fellowship, 10 o'clock a.m. at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. No agenda, just come eat, have fellowship, have a good time. As a reminder, put this in your, etch this in your brain. Next Sunday, we will have communion. So be prepared for that as we come in. Communion next Sunday. Then Operation Christmas Child. We are a drop-off for Operation Christmas Child, and that starts on November the 13th. Folks will be dropping by their packages in. Now, that's not our church collection. That is the regional drop-off. So if you want to help out with that, I think there's a sign-up sheet back there in the narthex. You can sign up to come help with that. We receive the boxes from folks. We have to pack them in a bigger box, and then we will transport them over to their next stop along the way, which is usually Westover, and then from Westover they go to Boone. So if you would like to help out and be a part of that, you can sign up there, and we'll definitely put you to work. Trunk or Treat, October the 29th from 5 to 7 p.m. right here, and then November 14th is our bi-monthly blood drive from 2:30 to 7. And we are planning a church work day on November the 4th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to work on some of the trees back on the back side of the building that are pretty much into the building, as the old boy says. So we'll, if you can show up for that, that would be great. And we have our dates for our Cuba mission trip for 2024. That is March 1 through 8. If the Lord is leading you to be a part of this trip, please let me know, and let me know fast. I'm going to tell you why. We will probably have to have our information and money in by the end of November, probably before Thanksgiving. And I know some of y'all are going, well, March is a long way off. Well, the government in Cuba closes down the month of December, and you have to have, it takes a 3-month lead time to get your visas to be over there. So that's January and February. So therefore, That's still just given a 2-month lead time. So please let me know so that we can be in communication with you guys. I'm asking you to begin to pray about your support. You have done phenomenal things over there in Cuba. But the date, March 1 through 8, 2024. Okay. Now, before I close in prayer, just want to let folks know we do have a called conference planned for 2 weeks from today, which will be the 29th of October. The purpose for the call conference is to consider a motion or a potential motion from the finance team in reference to building use, okay? We have been approached in regard to some folks that are talking about wanting to use our facilities. So what I'm wanting you to do, we are going to have Q&A sessions on that. One of those is tonight. Just as to the nature of the event, I can't give you a whole lot of information right now, but come tonight, right after our Bible study in here tonight, and you will hear what we've got taking place, what we've got going on. There's a Q&A session scheduled for tonight as well as Wednesday night, and then maybe if we need more after that. But that is a called conference. This will be in regard to the called conference that's coming up on the 29th, okay? Did I make that clear as mud? Okay. All right. Bottom line, there's a called conference coming up. It'll be to consider a motion from finance, but the information that you need, we're going to have listening in Q&A sessions starting tonight so that you will know what that is particularly about. So that is the purpose for the called conference, okay? Any questions? All right, well, let's all stand. I know you've been sitting for a while. I'm going to have David come up, and if there's anything I've left out, you can let us know and then see us off in a word of prayer, brother.
Evaluate it. And Lord, if it needs to be changed, then help us to do something about it that we might show this lost world what a great, great opportunity it is to know Jesus. We ask it in His name. Amen.